Are you well? I ask that question as a pastor, not a medical doctor. By well, I mean, are you living and loving from a healthy soul and from the inside out? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. That means living life from the inside out begins with an understanding of our whole humanity, mind, body, heart, and soul. But what is the soul? Think of the soul as the operating system of our humanity, integrating the component parts of our human being, including the mind, body, and heart. The soul is also the immaterial part of us that lives forever. So, is it well with your soul? I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
Consider the words of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in return for his soul? Hi, I'm Brian Davis, and this is Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. Well, the questions Jesus raised here in Mark's Gospel were, of course, rhetorical. There's nothing on earth more valuable than the human soul. It's not something we have, it's what we are, the very essence of our being. Stay with us as Ron moves ahead in his series, Inside Out, Living and Loving from a Healthy Soul. Or stop by somethinggoodradio.org, where you can listen to any of Ron's messages on demand. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Download or subscribe to the podcast at Spotify, at Apple Podcasts, or wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Now here's Ron with part two of his Something Good radio message, The Total Human Being.
In Jeremiah 32 and verse 41, God makes a promise concerning Israel saying, I will rejoice in doing them good, and I will plant them in this land in faithfulness with all my heart and all my soul. Does God have a soul? Well, because humans are created in the image of God and we have a soul, it makes sense that God also has a soul. However, the expressions found in the Bible about God's soul might be nothing more than what we call anthropomorphisms. That's the idea that when the Bible refers to God having other human qualities like a face or hands, it's just reaching for language that as humans we can understand. Of course, God did take the form of a human body in the person of Jesus Christ, which leads to some lofty conversations about what we call the incarnation in Christian theology, the idea that Jesus was fully God and completely human at the same time, God in the flesh, God with a body. Furthermore, the divine intellect is so impressive that the Apostle Paul remarks in his first letter to the Corinthians, who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? And so, yeah, we can go into the pages of Scripture and we discover mind, body, heart, and soul in the divine. Now, living our lives from the inside out begins with an understanding of what I'm calling our total humanity. And perhaps a diagram will help show the relationship between mind, body, heart, and soul. You have the diagram there in your notes and on the screen as well. This diagram represents my best understanding of the relationship between the component parts of our humanity. And you'll notice that the soul is largest. And that's where I want to begin, with the soul. What is the soul? I mean, we read it all over the pages of Scripture. Even God in the pages of Scripture refers to his soul. But what is the soul? Generally, the soul is the invisible, immaterial part of us that lives forever. Now, in the context of the creation story, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, this verse provides the first mention of the soul in the body. Listen to this. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. That from the King James Version. Other translations say living being. It's the Hebrew word nephesh, which is translated often soul, or can be a living being. Now, God did not create a body and then place a soul in it, sort of like you put a letter in an envelope. Rather, out of the dust of the ground, he created Adam, and then he breathed divine life into that formed dust, making it a living being, a complete person, or a soul. And in that way, we might say we don't have a soul. We are souls. We're not physical and material beings that happen to have a spiritual side to us. No, we are first and primarily a soul. We are spiritual beings that happen to be living inside a material body. Now, before we travel deeper into the soul, let's at least acknowledge the many ways we use the word soul in our everyday language, and sometimes we use it in a proper way, and a lot of times, you know, we don't. Starting with the idea, have you ever heard this? Confession is good for the soul. And likewise, selling your soul to the devil is bad. Or I hear that everybody is looking for their romantic soulmate, or at least for a friend who is a kindred soul, someone that they can, with whom they can bear their soul. We love to eat soul food and listen to soul music. And years ago, there was a television program called Soul Train. And then even more so in church, we pray for lost souls. And some people are going through a time of deep, deep soul searching. So the word soul is common in our language today, but I'm not sure we have a deep and biblical understanding of it. I know before I went into my sabbatical, my understanding of mind, body, heart, and soul were a little bit fuzzy, even as I read these words and in the pages of Scripture. I wanted a deeper understanding of that. And one of the places I went to help with that was to a book by Dallas Willard titled Renovation of the Heart, Putting on the Character of Christ. I read it years ago, and I came back to it. It's a pretty thick read, and it takes a while to get through it. But Dallas Willard describes the soul and its relationship to the mind, body, and heart in a way that kind of made sense to me. Listen to this. Willard says, "The soul is that aspect of your whole being that correlates, integrates, and enlivens everything going on in the various dimensions of the self. It regulates whatever is occurring in each of those dimensions and how they interact with each other and respond to surrounding events in the overall governance of your life." He says the soul is deep, in the sense of being basic or foundational, and also in the sense that it lies totally beyond our conscious awareness. That's a lot to think about. Willard takes us into the deep, deep end of thought. But our total humanity is something deep to think about. We are complex beings. We are not simply material girls and boys living in a material world. There's much more to us. And when we get in a few weeks talking about how we live and love from a healthy soul, how we care for our soul, how we maintain a sense of wellness in our inner being, we've got to have an understanding of the total human being as God created us in His image and what all that looks like. When I read Willard's description of the soul during my sabbatical, I immediately thought about the operating system on my laptop computer. Now, a computer has many programs and applications on its hard drive, but the operating system is the most important software that runs on the computer. The operating system manages the computer's memory and processes, as well as all its software and hardware. Most of the time, multiple things are happening on our computer simultaneously. Multiple programs and applications, and they each need access to the computer's central processing unit and the memory and the storage. And it's the operating system in our computer that makes each application get what it needs. And what I'm saying simply is, my understanding of the soul from Willard and others is that the soul is kind of like that operating system on your computer laptop. It is the operating system for the human being, integrating the simultaneous activity of our mind, our body, and our heart. And we'll get to the heart next week, but just understand that the heart is the command center. If the soul is the operating system, the heart then is the command center directing our will and our spirit and emotions. Now we got even more complex about the total human being.
Still ahead, the second half of today's Something Good radio message with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. If you've never visited our website, somethinggoodradio.org, I encourage you to stop by. There you'll find our streaming platform for the entire media ministry. You'll also find our digital library where you can search for biblical answers to your most challenging questions. Watch, listen, and download for free. That's somethinggoodradio.org. So let me ask you, do you have a passion to pray? Would you like to learn to pray with zeal from someone who mastered the art of divine communication? The disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he gave them a model for prayer that even a child can learn. Today, Dr. Ron Jones is ready to share his new book, The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. Join Ron as he guides you phrase by phrase through the power and beauty of the prayer that begins, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." You'll also find an entire chapter that explains how Jesus prays for you and me, as well as biblical answers to the age-old question, does God answer prayer? That's The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. Order your copy for a donation of $25 or more. Share it with a friend by requesting a 2-pack for $50, a 4-pack for $75, or an 8-pack for $150 or more. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099 or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456. When the soul is healthy, that means our emotions are healthier, our behavior is healthier, our relationships with God and with people are healthier. With the rest of today's Something Good radio message, The Total Human Being, here once again is Dr. Ron Jones.
And what's amazing and mysterious all at the same time is the interconnectedness of it all. Think of the human skeleton, where we say the knee bone is connected to the hip bone by way of the thigh bone, you know, and it's all connected to one another. In the same way, the integration of the various parts of the inner self cannot be overestimated, making our humanity more complex than we ever imagined, and making the maintaining of the wellness of our inner being an even greater challenge for us. And so now you're beginning to understand why it's so easy to get to that point where on the external side of your being, you feel all successful. You look all spit-shined and great to everybody, but on the inside, you say, I feel empty. I'm falling apart. I'm fraying around the edges. And sometimes if you don't care for it soon enough, it leads to a train wreck in your life. Now, the health of each part of our humanity, mind, body, heart, and soul, contributes to our overall wellness. But it all starts with the soul. We'll get to mind, body, and heart next time. But it starts with the soul. And here's the first thing you need to understand from the Bible's perspective. Your soul is the most valuable thing you possess. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, Jesus asked rhetorically, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" The obvious answer to that rhetorical question is nothing. There is nothing in this world more valuable than a single soul. There's nothing in your world that is more valuable than your soul. And caring for your soul that integrates every other aspect of your human being, your mind, your body, your heart. Caring for your soul. Nothing could be more important than that. Now, one proof of the soul's priceless value is that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save your soul. To save your soul and mine that was in a precarious state of being, that was at risk of being forfeited and lost forever in eternity. Your soul and mine, the operating system of our human self, requires salvation. That's what Peter had in mind when in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, Peter writes, "Though you have not seen him," that is Jesus, "you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory." Now listen to this, "obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Yeah, the outcome of our faith, the purpose of placing our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is that he would save our soul. Because from the Bible's point of view, our soul, and we are souls, we don't just possess them, we are souls. The most valuable thing we possess, the most valuable thing in the world is a single human soul, but it's in a precarious place. It's in a dangerous place. It requires salvation. It requires redemption. And the goal or the outcome of our faith in Jesus Christ is primarily the salvation of our souls. Let me ask you a question. Is your soul saved? Are you even aware that your soul will be required of you one day? Jesus once told a parable about a rich man who had overflowing barns. And the man made a decision. Rather than giving some of it away generously, he says, "I'm going to tear down my barns, build bigger barns, and eat, drink, and be merry." And what he didn't know was that his soul would be required of him that night. He would die and have to give an account before his Creator, who made him into a soul, give an account for what he did with his life and with his faith. I want to encourage you right now, if you haven't already done so, to ask Jesus to save your soul. For you to ever get to that point, friend, you've got to get to an understanding that your soul is in a dangerous place. And it needs redemption. It needs saving. You say, save from what? Well, ask Jesus to save your soul from eternal damnation, from the penalty of your sin. This is what Jesus came to do. He sacrificed his body on the cross to save souls and to save your soul. And because the soul is the operating system of our humanity, nothing could be more important than having a redeemed soul. Think about your laptop computer. You have all these programs and applications working on it, and presumably they're in good working order, but the operating system is corrupted. If the operating system on your computer is corrupted, nothing else really works all that well. It is something that operates on a computer kind of behind the scenes. You really don't see it. You don't have conscious awareness of it. But if that operating system is not right, then there isn't a program or an application on your computer that works well. And when we get to that point where we say, you know, I've got all this external success, but something's not right. Mind, body, heart, all the component parts, something's not working well. It might be because your soul is still corrupted by sin, and you need to ask Jesus to save your soul. Mind, body, and heart, and all the component parts of our humanity function best when integrated by a saved or a redeemed soul. That's another way of saying it. One day you will die and your soul will be required of you, meaning your soul, the real, immaterial, and eternal you, will give an account before the God who made you into an eternal soul. So I say, start by making sure your soul is saved today by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do that today, because today is the day of salvation. And once you do that, then we can start talking about caring for our souls. Caring for our souls in a way that we live and we love from the inside out and from a healthy soul. I think when that lawyer asked Jesus, "What is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus answered, "Oh, it's to love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself." No, he answered it with an understanding of the totality of our humanity. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when all of the component parts of our humanity are saved, redeemed, well cared for, and operating well, you know what happens? We love God and we love our neighbor better. Inside out living means that we are living and loving from a healthy soul. And that's my prayer for all of us here during this series. And it's been my prayer during my sabbatical. Not that my soul was in danger of being forfeited. No, I had placed my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He saved my soul. Hallelujah to Jesus. But caring for that soul and making sure that we're healthy is another thing. And living from the inside out. Oh, I just want to make sure that I love God and love people well. And that it is well with my soul, as the old hymn says. It is well with my soul. Is it well with your soul today?
Thanks so much for being with us for today's Something Good radio message, The Total Human Being. If you're new to the Something Good radio program, we want to make sure you know that we archive all of Ron's messages at somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org. While you're there, use the Partners tab at the top of the homepage to check out the 828 Club, a special group of people who partner with Ron to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through the media ministry of Something Good. Join the 828 Club from our website or call us at 757-276-1099. That's 757-276-1099. Well, we're just a few short days away from a very special evening. This Sunday, February 25th at 6 p.m., Dr. Ron Jones invites you to join him for a Something Good Radio live listener event called A Night of Worship and Word at the church where he pastors, Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. You'll hear some great music led by guest worship leader Jody Brer of Avalon and Cana's Voice, followed by a message from Ron himself. We'd really love to see you there in person. So stop by somethinggoodradio.org to get your free tickets to this special listener event. There's also a streaming option if you want to join us remotely and watch from the comfort of your own home. That's A Night of Worship and Word, presented by Something Good Radio and Dr. Ron Jones. For more details, come see us at somethinggoodradio.org.
If we're going to live and love from a healthy soul, first thing we need to understand is our soul is in a precarious position. And it needs and requires salvation. Have you been saved? Is your soul saved? That's question number one. Now we're ready to talk about the other component parts of our humanity, mind, body, and heart.
That's next time when Dr. Ron Jones shares part three of his message, The Total Human Being. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying God bless and thanks for listening.